We're going to talk a little bit about Bar Camp Tour, bar camps and traveling around the country, all these brands traveling around the country, what that experience was like, what we learned, what you guys can learn. And more importantly, we're here to just talk, right? And so I think the most important thing to note is that you should just like yell or raise your hand or jump or...
Or go to the microphone or, in the middle of the room.
Yeah.
That might help.
Okay. Yes. Really structured. But we accept all forms of questions at any point in time.
Forms of communication are welcome.
Yeah. So don't feel like you should wait until the end to ask questions. That's not any of our personal styles, and it's not our collective style. Also, feel free to tweet at Jonathan CK if you have a question and you're shy and you want to use technology. I'll definitely bring it up. But okay, so what are we talking about? So I just want to share what Bar Camp Tour is and what a bar camp is.
Pointed right at you.
Hey.
There we go.
All right. Okay. Nice. I feel excited now. So I just want to, I'm not sure how many people actually know what a bar camp is. So I'd love to just share with you that. So if you take a normal event or a normal conference, you pay money to go. Speakers come in. There's an organized schedule. A bar camp is none of that. A bar camp is an event put on by a community for a community. It is driven exclusively by passion. You walk into a bar camp on a Saturday when you could be doing other things, fun things, and you have chosen to be there voluntarily. There is a whiteboard. There are time slots. There are rooms, and it is all empty. And if no one comes up and if no one decides to speak, then there is no event. It is an event put on by a community. People decide about things that they want to speak on. They vote on it, and the community decides what they want to hear. And so it's a really fun event because it's driven by what you want to hear, what you want to talk about. And it's not someone who, you know, has made professional slides and who does this for a living. It's people who are on the ground kind of hustling. And there's something really special about that. And that's kind of why we're all here. And so the Bar Camp Tour is a partnership between Grasshopper and Batch Book and Wufoo and Shopify and MailChimp. And we all bonded together our time and our money to travel all around the country to 10 different bar camps to not only sponsor, but to participate and be involved and have fun and learn about all the communities. And there's very few people who can say that they've done that. And so I'm the moderator. My name is Jonathan Kay. These guys are all going to introduce themselves in a second. I guess I just want to share one more thing. I think the coolest thing about bar camp is that it's the most influential, the hardest working people in a community. Because again, like, we all only have so much free time, and on a Saturday to choose to spend your free time learning and like sharing what you love, like in my book and in all of our books, that makes you an influential person in your own right. And so this is kind of the reason, at least for me personally, why I wanted to like be a driving force behind starting this, because I want to spend my life being around people who care that much about what they do. And so just to kind of kick things off, I'd love if each of you could kind of talk a little bit about like what your brand does, why you chose to even be involved in the bar camp. Like, why would you give your time? Because it's important to know we all have jobs, right? And so like our goals and what our bosses check on us, it doesn't change because we do the bar camp tour. Right. And so this actually affects all of our jobs. We work more as a result of doing this. You know, this doesn't just make our jobs more fun. And so I want to know, you know, what your brand does. I want to know why you chose to do this. And I want to know if in 2012 you're going to be doing this again. Whoever wants to start.
Okay. I'm Amy Ellis. I head up integrations and partnerships for MailChimp, which is an email technology platform.
We're based in Atlanta. MailChimp is a SaaS-based application for sending email newsletters, hosting your list, building a list, that sort of thing. It's MailChimp.com. And I guess it was this time last year, I think, that Jonathan approached us about being involved in his crazy bar camp tour idea. And My role at MailChimp is to head up our integration fund and to really try to advocate for development in email technology. A lot of people see it as, or maybe hopefully used to see it as kind of a maybe boring or not as interesting as some other aspects of technology. So we, you know, as part of that, we partner with and work with Small Business Web, and this seemed like a really good fit. For that. So to go to these individual tech communities and talk about integrations and the integration fund and work with the communities of developers to, you know, raise the awareness of that is a great fit. And when I heard the other brands that were involved, I knew we would want to be involved because they're all brands that we love and admire and know are kind of in line with our ethos and all of that stuff. So.
And valuable enough that you're going to come back in 2012.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Okay, I'm Joey Davila, and I'm the platform evangelist for Shopify. The more jargony way of describing Shopify is hosted e-commerce. The easiest way to describe it is WordPress for online stores. The idea is that Shopify makes it easy, dirt easy, for you to set up a store online if you have something to sell. We take what we do is we just make it so easy so you don't have to worry about the mechanics of you know, setting up an online store and taking care of things like you know, how to hook up to payment gateways and fulfillment services and things like that. We take care of a lot of that work for you so you can concentrate on what you know best, the products you're trying to sell, and what will differentiate you from everyone else, which is customer service. I heard about the Barcamp. I relatively recently joined Shopify. I joined in May and heard about the Barcamp tour just shortly before that and recommended that we take it. One of the interesting things is that when you're working away on a product, you know, you're squirreled away in the development room for a really long time, and you forget that you know, your customers are out there and they, you know, they have different lives and they live in different places and they're in different situations from you. One of the great things about the Barcamp tour was it gave me a chance to find out, you know, what's going on all across the country. And, you know, each Barcamp seems to have its own different flavor based on where it, you know, where it was. And we got to learn a lot about not just the developers who were building on the Shopify platform, but also, you know, customers and potential customers. We learned quite a bit about what's going on. And I do have to say, you know what, you can't call it flyover country anymore. It's entrepreneur country. As far as I'm concerned, I've learned a lot. Unfortunately, we won't be able to do the Barcamp tour this year. It's largely because of time commitments. We'd probably only be able to commit to two out of the
eight or ten
cities. We'd probably be able to commit to two, but you know, if there's a way we can at least partially sponsor it, yeah, we're up to talking with the Barcamp tour people. I'm going to be quite busy. Just one of the things we don't want to do is turn it into a hard sell for the company, right? Like,
right.
We try not to actively pitch. We want to just participate subtly when we're doing the Barcamp tour. But, yeah, Shopify wants us to do some tutorials. And, yeah, that would probably be against the spirit of what we do at Barcamp.
And that's a great point, right? Like, they certainly don't have a problem spending the money to do it.
Yeah.
But that's not what it's about, right? The money, people have money. It's that they go and they participate. And they're there, and they're meeting people, and they're helping set up and clean up. Christelle?
I am Christelle LaChapelle. I work for Batchbook. I'm the brand development manager. We make a CRM, contact management, with social integrations. We also integrate with MailChimp and FreshBooks, some other SaaS applications. And so one of the reasons it's important to us is to meet other companies like that are sitting here with us right now, and also to meet our customers in real life, because we feel it's very important to get to know them, what their needs are, and other entrepreneurs that are out there, and what they may need in our software or other softwares, or what kind of packages we can put together for them to make their lives easier.
Love it.
And I'm Stephanie Bullis. I am the ambassador of Buzz at Grasshopper. We're based in Boston, and we are a virtual phone system for entrepreneurs, so 800 local numbers to help you sound more professional, stay connected, and sound a little bit more bigger than just working out of your parents' basement. And as Grasshopper, we actually independently had sponsored a handful of bar camps and had such a positive experience and really, really enjoyed them and saw such a high business return that we thought that there had to be a way that we could get other like-minded brands involved and have other companies benefit from it, but also just make the bar camps more awesome with a larger budget and with more manpower behind it. We knew that there had to be a way to kind of do something really cool. And as Grasshopper, we never really do any traditional sponsorships. We're all about buying beer, buying coffee, keeping people caffeinated and drunk. And we think putting a face to a brand is really important because with the age of social media as it is, you just see logos talking at you. So having a friendly face to talk to about a brand is really important to us. And so we will definitely be continuing for 2012.
Yeah, and I think you actually make a really good point, Steph, because I can tell you, at least from my experience with customer acquisition, we hear more and more that one entrepreneur goes with the company because they've met someone, right? And customers tend to sign up because there's two touch points. Maybe one's traditional, maybe one's a banner ad, maybe one's a press article. But we found a lot, at least at Grasshopper, that once they had that second touch point, so if they heard a radio ad and then they met us at an event, that was what drove the actual acquisition, right? That's what made people feel comfortable with your brand. And people buy from people that they're comfortable with. So I think a lot of these brands want to come back because not only is it a good thing, but it does affect customer acquisition in a really genuine way, right?
We should probably also say that WooFoo was a big part of everything last year, that we don't have someone from WooFoo on the panel just because of inability to be on more than one panel during South by Southwest, but Chris Courier's in the audience, and WooFoo is going to be returning as sponsor this year as WooFoo SurveyMonkey, so that's awesome.
Thank you for that. They legitimately make it fun to create forms.
They do.
I mean that from the bottom of my heart. That's true. It's true. So if you're looking for your board later, you should make a form. And so the next thing I want to talk about, and Joey, you actually touched on this, is that we went to different cities, okay? And we didn't go to San Francisco for a reason, right? We didn't go to big cities, all big cities. We traveled all around. We went to Omaha, Nebraska, excuse me.
Yeah.
We went to Wisconsin. We went to Portland. We went to Seattle. We went to Tampa Bay,
Charlotte,
North Carolina.
Yeah. New Orleans.
Philadelphia. I mean, we went like all over the place. And so I really want the panelists to kind of share a little bit of an experience with each city, like just, you know, each city brought its own personality, right? And so I can at least say from my experience, I was really moved by New Orleans, and I think it's a real effect of kind of what their city is about. But they were one of the only bar camps that had a day after the bar camp where the entire community came together to build a project that was just for the community. And they just came together and they gave up yet another day of their free time just to build a technical project that benefited the community. And like, that was awesome. And like, that made us want to spend like our personal dollars to buy food and like pizza for them, because that's awesome. Like, it's so cool to see people come together. And that was something that happened just because that was part of the New Orleans community. Mm-hmm. And so what I'd love to hear from you guys is maybe like, you know, we all went to different cities. Like, is there a specific experience you saw from a city? And on top of that, for next year, because cities have such different personalities, would you prepare differently for each city?
Definitely. I mean, one of the things that is so exciting for me about doing this another year is that we learned so much from last year. And one of the big takeaways for us was that each city really did have such a unique feel based on the culture of the community there. And I wish that you know, had we known that, we could have tailored our participation to meet, to be more in line with each community. You know, we kind of had an idea of what we wanted to do, sponsor an after party, that kind of thing, come in and help with content and that sort of thing. But there were instances, you know, like with a smaller but close-knit bar camp like New Orleans, it might have been more important for us to help contribute content based on what we've learned and, you know, working for you know, kind of a bigger startup than what was represented there. Whereas, like, in Minneapolis, which was the largest bar camp in the United States, you know, they probably needed content from us less and needed more, you know, force behind, like, an after party or pre party or something like that. So I'm really looking forward to using those learnings for next year. And the other big thing that that I think was really interesting was that, you know, we did go to some large cities and some small cities. And I think in our mind, the large cities would be like the big communities and the big bar camps. Right. And what we found was that the smaller cities really have a much more closely knit community that was there to help and support each other. And those ended up being the most memorable bar camps, as opposed to the big cities where there's so much competition for things to do on the weekends and that sort of thing. So we definitely are looking at some of the kind of smaller cities in the U.S. for this year's tour.
By the way, the Minneapolis Bar Camp was by far the largest, and we are talking huge. Your typical bar camp, even at a large city, probably hits 300 or 400. Minneapolis, they had 1,200 signups and 1,000 attendees. In fact, it was so large, they held it in the only place that could possibly accommodate a bar camp of that size, Best Buy headquarters, which I did not know was in just outside Minneapolis, so that's something we learned. Yeah, really interesting. And each one had its own flavor, that's for sure. Boston's, for starters, that was held at Microsoft New England Research and Development, or NERD for short. That was a really academic flavored conference. Like, there were people discussing things. I mean, there was one. There was a very libertarian session, which nearly turned to blows. let's see now. You know, in Portland, Portland was interesting. I discovered in Portland that everything in the TV show Portlandia is pretty much true. very interesting discussions, including, once again, a very heated argument about Bitcoin. And the Bitcoin Tinfoil Hat Brigade came out. It was really...
I'm sorry, I missed that.
Oh, yeah, it was a good one. And Omaha, actually, very... once again, very interesting, very passionate startup community there. People in Omaha have set up... co-working spaces you normally think of for places like Manhattan, San Francisco, Boston. But no, in the middle of Omaha, there's a co-working space. There are entrepreneurs who go by the handle Princess Lasertron.
Fact.
Yep, absolute absolute fact. And there's a lot of interesting stuff going on in places you'd never see. I'd have to say New Orleans was very inspiring. I think Katrina is a very big defining event, because everybody in Barcamp New Orleans was talking about something in the sense of rebuilding. They were all about rebuilding and pulling the community together, and that was very inspiring, especially that final day that you were talking about, Jonathan, about where they got together and they put the project was to build a giant index of all the creatives and entrepreneurial types in New Orleans. And these people showed up on Sunday at 9 in the morning after a big party on Bourbon Street, you know. Most people in New Orleans aren't done throwing up at 9 in the morning on Sunday. And they got together and we taught them Ruby on Rails. And by the end of the day, they had a project.
Fantastic, fantastic. So can you hold on 1 second? We actually have a question, which got me excited.
Yeah.
Please. Crystal, do you want to just actually hop in and answer?
So
that?
Each event is organized by the organizers in each city. We don't actually organize the event. The organizers then apply to us, and then we come in and we help them with whatever part of the project they want help with. Normally, they have a community that they're reaching out to. They have websites or email lists. Some of them have been several years running, so they have a.
But they're all independent of each other.
Yes, they are. It's just a style of the conference. It's not, they're not all attached or related, really.
And there's so organizers are volunteers.
Yeah.
So there's not like, sometimes you find that organizers are the same year over year, and it's almost like a fraternity, right? Where like you see like one organizer pass it down to the next one and like share all that they've learned. And then you, like, I think you also see that when bar camps do it for the first year, they actually reach out to like other bar camp organizers who've done it before, and they're like, what did you learn? And because it's such a community thing, you find like local news outlets are like pumped to write about it, right? It's not, they're not selling anything. You're sharing something that helps people learn for free, right? And so it seems like everyone in the community, you don't need to do PR or a mailing list, because everyone who hears about it just wants to promote it, right?
Absolutely.
It's like such a good thing.
Well, I think the first part of your question was just a general bar camp question. And so the typical bar camp is, it's called an unconference, meaning that all the people come and attend, and then the first thing that you do in the morning for the first like 30 minutes is, if you want to present on a topic, you write it down, put it up on a big board, and then people can vote on it. And then that's kind of how they kind of crowdsource the content that way. But we found that some bar camps, depending on size, that was more difficult. So in Minneapolis, they would have people apply ahead of time with their session topics and then do all the voting online, so that by the time the event started on Saturday, they had the schedule already outlined. And then actually there were variations in terms of, you know, how well each city could market their bar camp and what kind of community they were dealing with and how well they had been fostering that community. And I think for this coming year, one of the things that we can really help with is some guidance in that area, because it's not a, it doesn't necessarily come naturally for the people who are decide to organize a bar camp to know how to get the word out there and foster that community. And at this point, we now have a pretty good amount of experience with what's worked for some bar camps and what hasn't. So hopefully we can be an additional resource in that way this year.
Solid. Does that help, by the way?
Yeah.
Cool. Hey.
Hi, my name is Andres Rosarina. I work for Talent Plus. We design and deliver research talent assessments. We're based in Lincoln, Nebraska. And I have two questions.
Please.
As a company, how do you become involved? How do you sponsor the tours? And the second question is, if you could share some metrics in terms of branding ROI, if you have seen, you know, increase in number of sales or any metric that could support that.
So I think I'll answer the first question, mm-hmm. and I'd like you guys to talk about ROI, if that's okay.
Sure. Absolutely.
We, at Grasshopper, we kind of like led the charge for the bar camp tour. And at first, we didn't open it up to any companies. We very much like said, these are friends of ours. These are people who don't market for sales purposes. They market because, you know what I mean? Like MailChimp, I know somewhere in this room there's a box of like 850 shirts that are the most... This is not a secret.
Yeah.
But right, like people who do like really genuine, awesome marketing WooFoo, they did a challenge to give away a battle axe, right? It's like these are companies who do marketing to have fun with their audiences. And so this was a criteria when we started. Shopify actually was the company who applied to be involved. And like It was very clear to us that they did like hackathons and they got involved in their community. And so we all got on the phone and we were like, You know what? These are awesome people. They get it for marketing, and we want to be involved. So the short answer is, what's the email address? If you go to barcamptour.com, there's absolutely a way you could contact an email that goes to all of us if you do want to apply. Mm-hmm. I think your question about ROI is fantastic. Steph, do you want to maybe hop in?
Yeah. So it's a great question and one that we actually get asked a lot. And I don't think I've ever come home and been like, oh, I had 500 impressions and now I'm going to have 6 sales and it's going to be great. It's more of definitely a brand awareness thing for us. And we have a data that we collect called How Did You Hear About Us when people sign up. And we saw when we were doing it individually that people were writing... Ambassador of Buzz bought me a beer in Tampa. We're like, okay, that worked. So that kind of proved it. But at the same time, we don't really look at it as, you know, we need to get X amount of sales from it, because the brand awareness is more important to us, because there's a lot of people at the event that probably don't need our service or might not need it at the point. But when they're going to look for a phone service, they'll be like, oh, this person from Grasshopper bought me a beer. Or if their friend needs a phone service, they'll say, you know, you should check out Grasshopper. They're really cool people. So it's not something that we necessarily measure, at least with the Bar Camp tour, but it is something that we've seen a return on at some point, but maybe not immediately.
Anyone else have feelings on that?
I've got on the Shopify blog, we did get we always got a spike every time we wrote about what we'd done in the Bar Camp tour and posted photos. We're talking of a typical 25% to 33% readership spike. The other thing is, you know, yes, Stephanie's absolutely right. Brand awareness is really helpful. What happens is somebody, people in various towns that we were visiting would start talking about our various companies. For Shopify, you know, I don't think it's a coincidence that the year 2011 was a banner year for us. We went from 10,000 to 20,000 stores in 2011, and we went from 100 million in sales to 275 million. I believe that our presence in eight cities across the U.S. Helped a lot with that.
I think we're probably similar to Grasshopper in that we, while ROI numbers are important, that's a lie. We rarely look at ROI numbers, honestly. and so I think it's hard with something like this to figure out what is the right metric to measure. We're, heading up integrations, the goal of me traveling and working with communities is not to increase our sales. It's to increase the development of integrations on our API. So, but at the same time, one of the biggest value adds that we've had in working with the Bar Camp Tour are the relationships that we've developed with the other brands on the tour and the ability to work with them in other areas to know more about their products so we can recommend them to our users, to develop integrations with them that make sense for our users and for their users. And, that's a big part of it as well. So it's for us, I think it's more of a kind of an intuitive thing. So it's, how do I feel like this is bettering the tech community? Do I feel like this is increasing the awareness of email technology and the ability to innovate inside that space? And I do.
Absolutely right. And I think like another interesting thing with MailChimp is, so there's another MailChimper here. Her name is Sharon, and she actually got hired. Hi. She got hired like mid Bar Camp tour, and Amy, like, it was almost like her orientation coming on the Bar Camp tour. And like, what more powerful way to like throw someone into your brand culture than to bring them on this like really altruistic entrepreneurial journey, right? And I thought that was kind of like a really cool thing, and I don't think it's a coincidence that she's probably one of their stronger employees. And I would say the last thing about metrics is that with Grasshopper, I think we saw a little uptick in like lifetime value of customers. So it's like if you're like a COO for a company, you're constantly thinking, if I can get my customer to pay me for one more month, I will never have to work another day in my life, right, for all your customers. And I think you just have to go back to the point of putting a face to a brand, and that like all of us in every city met at least one person who was using our service. And that's just like, oh my God, they're real. They're not just on the internet. Like they're real people. Like that's awesome. And like, so I think it's also keeping your current customers happy, right?
Absolutely. I consider a big part of my job, and I think a lot of us do, is, all of us aim to create a really nice user experience inside of our application. And to the point that when people, I know it happens with Batchbook, with BatchBlue, with Shopify, Grasshopper, people are like, I love using your application. It's so fun. It's so nice. And then they get to put a personal face with that nice experience, and it creates so much more brand loyalty that way. So I agree.
Absolutely. Hi.
Hey, can you talk a little bit about what you think is driving the sort of renaissance of entrepreneurship, and maybe talk about each one of your brands and what's flourishing and what the factors are driving it? Whether those factors are going to stick around or it's just because of the down economy.
Right. So if you guys didn't hear that, he's curious, like, what is sparking? What is the catalyst for this cool movement of entrepreneurship? How does this, like, affect our brands, and how are we involved in it? Will it last? Is it seasonal? Christelle, you wanna hop in?
Sure. So I think obviously the economy, you know, the downturn in the economy, and a lot of people may be laid off or have lost their jobs, and so they're looking for something else. But even Omaha is a great example. Almost every person I met in Omaha, if you said, well, what do you do? They'd say, well, I work here and I do this, but at night I'm building this other thing.
Mm-hmm.
And there were so many people that we met that were just like, they have an idea, they're just going out there and chasing their idea and trying to make it happen, you know. So for us, it's great because we make software for small businesses. So five employees or less, 10 employees or less, those are the people that we're looking for our customers. So it's a great opportunity for us. I don't think it's going to stop. I think this movement of people building, you know, technology and building things is going to go forward. It's going to be huge.
I think part of it is the confluence of a couple of things. For instance, it's easier to be an entrepreneur these days and start all kinds of businesses. You can go to a Best Buy or an Apple store and, you know, for a small sum of money, get exactly what you need to start a business. That wasn't always possible. I also think that with entrepreneurship, you know, when you're working yourself, the boss is not an idiot. You think the boss is a genius, in fact. I think bad bosses have helped drive entrepreneurship in many ways. And then there's also a term, actually, I learned this on the bar counter. It's one of the many things I learned. There's a term called sunshine wages. Anybody familiar with that one? It's a term that sometimes gets bandied about in the southern U.S., and that is, in exchange for living in a place with nice climate, you are paid terribly. And that happens a lot, and it's I think that also just drives people to say, you know what, there's got to be a better way to make a living. And it's amazing what what I've learned on the tour as well. I met a guy who owns 27 online stores powered by Shopify. He sells bicycles. He moved $500,000 worth of beach towels and $300 worth of all things cookie and sandwich cutters. This guy has learned how to hustle. And it's just basically the economic climate plus the technological climate combined that seems to be driving him. I think it drives a lot of people.
Got it. Anyone else? Thoughts?
Yeah, I just had a quick thing. I mean, it sounds kind of cheesy, but I think...
don't preface it.
I'm prefacing it just in case it's terrible. Then,
no.
And if it's awesome, my name is Stephanie. One thing I was going to say is just inspiration, and that's kind of one thing that we've learned at the bar camps is being able to tell your story and mm-hmm. having no excuses. So being able to hear the story of, you know, I had no money, I had no job, and I was living on the street, and now I've created this, or I started in a dorm room, and now I have 500 employees, or being able to tell your story and having that little bit of inspiration to share with someone is kind of the motivation that some people need. And at Grasshopper, one of the things we do is we like to share our customer stories, and being in the position I am, I have a lot of press contacts, and I have a lot of just friends in the industry, and hearing these cool stories of these entrepreneurs, I'm able to broadcast them a little bit more and give them some more exposure. So the more that you tell your personal story and the more that you hear what other people are creating, I think that that's kind of the fuel that mm-hmm. moves the fire of entrepreneurship.
Yeah, I mean, stories like Facebook and Twitter, you know, that sort of thing becoming more well-known and moving into general cultural knowledge rather than just kind of our tech bubble is really inspiring. That and having the tools readily available and affordable for a lot of people. So, you know, if I wanted to start a business, in the past, I might have needed an agency. I might have needed, you know, someone who understood all of these things, that now there are SaaS-based applications that I can pay an affordable monthly fee and do it myself. And there's online tutorials, and there's all of the stuff that I can make it happen. And so having all of that kind of there to allow you to figure it out and do it yourself, and then seeing that the success stories of that happening, you know, and in all of that on top of, you know, a down economy and people looking for something that's better than, you know, where they are, and feeling inspired to pull themselves up and all that kind of thing, I think creates a perfect storm.
Can I add something cheesy?
Go for it.
Cheese away.
So I think to add to what Stephanie said, what's also, it's very inspiring for us. Like, we are, Batchbook is a small team. We're 17 people. And so to go out on the road and meet real customers in real life that are like, we love you guys, and then go back to staff meetings on Mondays and tell people, tell the other people on the team, hey, there's people out there that are really excited about us. It's very, it's inspiring for us as well.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm Juliet. I work for Etsy. And,
yes.
So sort of empowering independent workers.
Absolutely.
So I'm curious, what did you guys learn? You know, obviously you're seeking to serve a need for an independent worker, creative business. What did you learn that you guys could be doing differently in your business or a product that you offer from having this contact?
So that's actually a fantastic question. So she's from Etsy, and she asked essentially what we learned from this that drove change in our businesses. What would we do differently in our businesses as a result of all this? Of all these
product, a new integration, you know, whatever.
Yeah,
absolutely. Who?
New user interface approach for sure. And basically simplify. It used to be that to sign up for Shopify, you'd have to fill in the standard giant form. And, you know, we did use WooFoo forms, and they are great forms. But every field you make someone fill out turns off half the people. So we've not...
Did you see that just because you were doing almost like user testing in real time with people? Or what
no, this was just... Actually, this was just from chatting with people and basically just discovering that every little obstacle you put in their way... will turn off about half the people you're dealing with. It's kind of like somebody told Stephen Hawking, every formula he put in Brief History of Time would cut his readership by half. So he kept it down to two formulas in the entire book. But yeah, it's the same deal. One thing we did at Shopify was we knocked down signups. Our signup form only requires you to fill in three pieces of information, and that's it, and you have a store. And that was an idea that we got from just touring around and talking to people and going, you know, make it as simple as possible. Don't get in my way. Because as an entrepreneur, you know, maybe I am doing this at night. I've got this window between 7 and 9 p.m., between dinner and when I have to tuck the kids in bed. This is my only shot at my side business. Make it as simple and as quick as possible. So, yeah, we learned that from the tour.
Gotcha. Anyone else?
I mean, we definitely, I think we're also moving in the direction of trying to simplify the application. We're kind of always had a focus on innovation. And, you know, we found that we've innovated so much that it's hard for people to find the right features for them sometimes. And so we've started to kind of curate the application for specific verticals. And then one of the huge value adds that we've got from Barcamp Tour is ideas for integration. So, you know, I can only guess what people want to use, but it's invaluable to get out there and have people say, like, I'm using, you know, whatever every day, and it's really killing me that it's not integrated with MailChimp. And then, you know, I can reach out to them, and I can say, we want to build an integration, and we'll pay for it. And that's pretty powerful. So, in fact, we got a pretty awesome Etsy integration out of that.
So I would say one thing at Grasshopper, and it might not be a new product. Steph and I got to talk to a lot of people who were using competitors, right? Because we happen to be in a virtual phone system industry where we have a competitor called RingCentral who has never, they don't have humans who work at their company, but they have like five times as many customers as us. And so it was always fascinating for me to talk to someone who's like, why the hell aren't we using you? Like, and then you learn about how your competitors acquire customers. And like, again, that's so valuable to take back to a board meeting and talk about and like educate your team. Like, I think all of us are internal educators as a result of how much mm-hmm. external experience we have. But I just got a question on Twitter. I'm pumped. So I think we should dive into that if that's okay.
Yeah.
So Skyver Advertising, raise your hand. Hi.
That totally negates the anonymous point of the other question.
That was so I completely understand my error.
Skyver Advertising, can you just ask us the question?
I'm sorry. My bad. User error. Excuse me. This person is trying. It wants to understand more. What people? Why do people go to bar camps? What are they looking to get out of it? Like, of the people you talk to, why are they giving their Saturdays? What do they hope to learn?
Go ahead.
Oh, no. Want to fight? You could totally diss me. So embarrassing. Okay, what do they hope to learn? I think it really depends on the city. And that's one thing we kind of learned. There was a lot of cities that were full of more storytellers. And then there was a lot of cities that were more full of just like, I'm here to learn. I heard about this cool thing. I don't know what I'm getting myself into, but I'm here to learn. Also, I think, I don't remember who said it, but I think it was Christelle, like a lot of people are trying to start things on the side. So their Saturdays and Sundays are the time for that. So they're really trying to get their name out there as their side project versus their 9-to-5 thing. So I think it's a mix of both learning more and being able to have a platform to tell their story and not having to be some famous keynote that people pay to come speak.
Yeah. I mean, community, just connecting with your local community that are interested in the same things as you, you know, that's really appealing to people across the board, whether it's in technology or gardening or whatever. So I think that's a really big draw. And then especially like Omaha, again, that type of community where people are, you know, maybe they're working for like a distribution company or something that's not tech focused at all, and they're trying to build something in their spare time, but they feel really isolated from other people who have great information and tips and tricks and what have you done and, you know, what works for you, what doesn't work for you. And that's another kind of benefit that BarCamp provides, is these are people that are all in your area that are interested in what you're doing, and it helps them connect and share information and, share inspiration as well.
And people that work for companies that maybe are not traditionally technology-focused that need to bring their companies up to speed. We met a lot of people like that where they're like, well, I need to learn how to do email marketing because nobody at my company knows how, or I need to learn how to use a CRM or for whatever purposes. There are a lot of people out there whose companies are a little caught in the dark ages compared to some of the people that might be here, so that's a good opportunity for them for free to go. They eat for free. They go for free. It would cost their company nothing to send them on a Saturday to go learn different technologies.
Cost their company nothing to send them on their own time.
I think the other thing is that, people want to find other like-minded people or find, you know, are there any other people like me in the community? I think, and then there's always 10%. Who are actually there because they find the ideas that get spread around at bar camps intriguing, but they're also wondering, could an ad hoc conference where the agenda is set that morning possibly, how could that possibly work? And I'm sure from talking with people, I'd say about a tenth of them are actually just there out of sheer curiosity going, yeah, how could such an ad hocracy work?
Right. Absolutely. Hey.
I'm just curious, how many people here have been to a bar camp? Because I've been, and I just...
So everybody else,
you
go.
You should go.
Everybody go.
But the beauty of bar camp to me is, like, it's the hallway discussion. It's like all hallway discussion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. That's part of conference. So, anyway, so if you notice anybody raise their hand, talk to them in the hall, too, if you have questions about that. Because I'm sure everyone has been totally different. They're fascinating.
Yeah, it is. Definitely.
No.
Yeah. And there's... there's not like an overarching bar camp organization that is going to tell you how you need to do it. There's a wiki, I think, that
it's a little bit outdated.
It's a little bit outdated, yeah. But you know, and we certainly, if you go to barcamptour.com, Chris, is that the website still?
Okay. yeah, it is.
Then you know you can reach out to us, and we have some experience as well with doing that. And you can just Google bar camp in your city, find out if that's happening. You can get involved and help planning it. You can plan one yourself. And I really encourage people to do it. It's just like such a phenomenal experience.
Yeah, and so that leads me to just at least one more thing. Can you guys just share like what you think? So we all obviously are passionate about this unconference, about bar camps. And so some of you have been, and hopefully, like really hopefully, like talking to us and listening to this, like makes you either want to go to one or makes you want to organize one in your city. So can you guys maybe just talk about like what were the important things that that some organizers did to lead a successful bar camp? Because it's not all like roses and peaches and Sour Patch Kids. It's some bar camps were clearly better than other bar camps, right? And I think it was very obvious to us which ones were better than others. And so if we can share some like best practices of how to organize just a really awesome bar camp, I think maybe that would be like a valuable takeaway.
Yeah, so one of the things that I loved about Bar Camp Minneapolis was the organizers actually took the time to have a session at the bar camp to plan next year's bar camp, which I thought was brilliant because that's when things are top of mind for attendees of what they would want different for next year or what they liked about this year versus 6 months down the road, hey, fill out this WooFoo form that says what you liked or what you didn't like about the bar camp. You're not going to have as much attention from your attendees, and you're also probably going to have a lot of people that forgot or don't have as great of ideas. So actually holding that during the session or during the event I thought was a great idea. And also on top of that is they have this Twitter handle that people are following the day of the event and hashtag, and they don't let it die that day, which I think a lot of other bar camps did. And you have this audience and this following of people that want constant information on that day. So why let it end then? You know, keep pushing out information, keep promoting, keep encouraging feedback about the event, and then I think you'll have a much better quality event.
I think you need to be organized. There were some bar camps that were maybe a little less organized than others, and definitely if you make it easier, the easier you make it for people to sponsor you, the more likely you will be to get sponsors. So if it's kind of a mess and people aren't getting back to you and you don't really know what's going on, it kind of makes you a little hesitant to participate.
I'd say that bar camp is, since bar camp is community powered, one of the best things you can do in preparation of a bar camp is have smaller community gatherings prior. The better bar camps on the tour were those founded by people who already who are already deeply entrenched within community groups, having regular meetings anyway. So they had all these networks, so they could call on people to help out with a bar camp. And they also had an instant grapevine, which they could use to actually promote their own, promote bar camps. The strongest communities generally have the best bar camps.
Yeah, I would definitely, building on that, I think passion is the biggest factor in a successful bar camp. If you are just doing it because you want to get sponsor money or you know, your friend roped you into it, it's not going to be as good. If you're really passionate about the idea of an unconference, about building community, about bringing entrepreneurs and developers and hackers together to see what can happen, then, you know, you're going to really be interested in keeping those Twitter handles and all that stuff going year-round. And it's just going to, you know, people are attracted to passion and they feel shepherded by it, and they're going to stick with you the whole year round, and your bar camp will keep building and building.
Got you. Hi. Hello.
My name's Ruth. I'm involved with Bar Camp London.
Oh boy.
So I have a couple of questions.
Please.
Firstly, it seems that you only have one day of a weekend for your bar camps. Is that the same for all of them around the country?
Some were two.
Some do like a media day and a development day. In our experience, I think it just depends on the size, right? Because sometimes, like in Tampa Bay, they actually have 150 people who really want to do media and 150 people who really want to do development. And so to give both of those audiences like the full love that they need 2 days. But I think we mostly saw one day.
A lot of...
One day. Seattle was 2 days. Seattle was 2 days of straight sessions. Mm-hmm. Milwaukee was 2 days of sessions.
Boston was 2 days.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
The other question is, would you consider going international and actually coming and touring?
Well, yes. Yes, we would. I think we would.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I think we're getting close. I think people are getting antsy. So I wanted to end with kind of one thought from you guys. And so one of the things that I kind of loved the most about this is that, believe it or not, these four people are cream of the crop in terms of marketers and branders, and you guys make really freaking awesome things happen at awesome companies that millions of people use. And so, like, can you just give one tip? Like, I have to assume that you guys are either running businesses, you're involved in businesses, you're here not eating bacon and ice cream and cookies because you want to learn something about business and marketing. Can you guys just, like, leave them with one thing, like something that you learned from this or that, you know, some marketing tip, some branding tip, some, come on, like, let's go out with a bang. Give them one thing, please.
Okay. what I would say is keep it real, be personal. I've heard a lot of talks about bigger brands here talking about how they're afraid of their community. Like, they can't control the community and what they're going to say about them, and how do we control that, make it smaller. And that's not how we feel. Like, we want to talk to our community. We want to know what our customers think, how they feel. We want them to succeed, and we want to celebrate their successes with the other people that we know. And so I would say that's a whole different kind of marketing than you might be used to.
Have an open API. Get signed up with Small Business Web.
It's a really, really
our the biggest, our most successful marketing strategy is integrating with other companies, for sure, 100%.
Like it. Either of you?
I would say that, you know what, people, it kind of going on the Barcamp tour did confirm something about, you know, going out and shaking hands and kissing babies and all the personal marketing. People may forget what you do, but people will always remember how you made them feel. And one of the nice things about getting out there is you can make people feel better when you actually present a human face and you're a human being behind, and you're not just a logo.
Mm-hmm. Having monkey hats helps
monkey
a lot.
Monkey hats helps.
Monkey hats is really good, too.
Yeah.
I have some.
Yes,
the rumors
hats.
Are true.
The rumors are true, yes!
Yeah.
I want a third one.
You can come see me if you want a monkey hat.
I need another monkey hat.
I would say just be different, which obviously you probably hear a lot, but don't do something because Facebook's doing it and it's working for them. Make sure that you stay true to your brand, but also surprise people. And part of that is being human. We like to send thank you notes or sending just random candy for the sake of it because you have a sweet tooth. but just do things that are out of the ordinary that you would love to have from some random company, because at the end of the day, you know, regardless of what business you are, B2B, B2C, you're just dealing with people and you want to make people happy.
Absolutely. Well, again, thank you for not eating bacon and hanging out with us. And we will hang up here if you guys have questions that you want. Like, we're here as long as you are, but we're going to turn off the mics and stop being so formal. So thank you for your time.
Thanks for coming out.
Yay.